Well, without doubt, we need the Lord. Ask for your prayers. Sometimes we have messages that the Lord gives us of encouragement. Sometimes we have messages of warning. The Lord gives all kinds of different messages. I believe the Lord's always right if we'll obey Him. And interested this evening in obeying the Lord, I want to tell you that I love you this evening. God loved us a lot. And He loved us enough that He told us the truth. He didn't shortchange it. He didn't try to psychologically figure out the best way to present it that these folks will get a hold of it. He was interested. He knows us. But He told us the truth. I thought before of... You remember the rich young ruler? We don't know his name. He seemed like very hungry, very interested. And he came running, eager. And he bowed down. Good master. You remember? And he said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus began to talk to him and said, "What? You know the law. What?" And he told him, started out with the Ten Commandments. And this young man was listening to that and feeling pretty good. "All these I've done from my youth up." And Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack." And there was a very deep place. Folks, we can do things and we can legally do everything that's right and miss the one thing. And this one thing is the very deep-seated place in our heart that God wants to own in every one of us tonight. And it's where we wholly and completely divest ourselves of who we are. Say, "Lord, You can have it all." That's still the same message. It must be true in every one of our hearts today, folks. I fear that there are too many times that we learn a system and how to get along within a system and a legal set of rules and never gain the life of Christ. And God has that for us. And Jesus was faithful and loving enough to this young man to tell him the truth. And He said, "You lack just one thing." And He went on to tell him, "Go home and sell everything that you've got and give it away and come and follow Me." But He didn't stop there. He said, "You'll have treasure in heaven." There are too many people who want to follow along just for the loaves and the fishes and the good feelings. I want to tell you, those good feelings don't last very long. We need to have the well of joy, the well springing up within us unto everlasting life. It's got to go beyond the surface. It's got to go something deep and real down inside. Folks, I want to tell you, there was a time when I got saved. And that was a monumental struggle that night. I remember the struggle that I had there at the altar. And I remember the place where the devil and all that I'd been involved with before, he was trying to destroy all belief that there's any way I could be saved if the Lord won any of the ashes that was left behind. And in that, I remember when the Lord came, I remember when He saved. And folks, I don't want to let anything get between me and that experience. I don't want to let anything, including me. And folks, you don't want it either. One of the things that generally happens in life as we go along, we have many opportunities. We have many of the affairs of life and the general, sometimes just mundane of life that we go through. These things begin to come and so take over our life that we slowly lose sight. We slowly lose the vigor. We slowly lose that real, Lord, you've got it all. We slowly, and this is the devil's plan, to try to get us to the place that we lose sight of that real essence of walking with the Lord. That happened over and over and over back in the old law system. You remember the children of Israel? They had a problem. It's called stiff-neckedness. They wanted their way. And they constantly built up in themselves again and again and again this, I'm sufficient, I want my way. And they didn't sell all. They didn't invest all in the Lord. And it began to bloom out. And Isaiah said it this way. He said, your sins have separated you from the Lord. What is that? The 59th chapter of Isaiah. Let's turn there. I believe that's where it is. 59. I believe that's worth getting right now. Yes. First, I want to get the first verse here. Behold. Thank you, brother, though. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save. He's still the same. He's never quit. His arm is just as strong and just as long. His arm is just as capable of saving to the uttermost tonight. His arm is still just as able to take a life of wherever we are tonight, whether we're in open sin or just internal secret rebellion before the Lord. He's able to save to that uttermost tonight. But there's one thing many times that hinders. It's the love of my own iniquity. That's where it is, folks. Many times people have built up in their mind so many reasons that they can still carry in their own lives. Things may be hidden or maybe even open that they've excused over and over and over again. And the Lord's not blessing it. And the Lord simply wants us to sell all. And it's worth it, folks. You'll have treasure in heaven. Who wouldn't want to get rid of all the flack of this world and have treasure in heaven? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save. Neither is His ear heavy that it can't hear. He hadn't quit listening. He knows when you get alone and you're very tired of who you are, and you do, and you mourn and you groan under the weight of who you are, the Lord's still hearing that. And He's still very capable of delivering. But here's the problem. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Is that able to happen today? Has that went out of style? Has it passed away through the last generations and we've gotten so sophisticated today that we don't have to deal with that? We've learned a system. We've learned to be able to kind of get past that, and we've learned how to be all the niceties and the politeness and all the right words to say. My God, help us if that's all we've got. We've got to have the salvation of God. We've got to have the essence of His dwelling within our heart. Without it, we are indeed a lost and a dying people. His arm is still extended. He's still able to save. And his ear is hearing not only the mourning of the cry, but he also hears the deception if it's there. He knows what's there in your heart. And he mourns also. Didn't Jesus weep more than just at the tomb of Lazarus? Do you remember when he looked over Jerusalem? Do you remember what he wanted for Jerusalem? Do you remember his longing of his heart? And he lets us know that he often tried. I wanted to deliver you. I wanted something better for you. But the untold part of that, which I believe we can, the implied part of it, is that they rejected over and over and over and over the call of God. And then there's only one thing left when we reject the call of God. There's only one ultimate, it's unavoidable. He said, your house is left unto you desolate. You know, tonight I would really like to be giving you a message of great encouragement. But we'd all feel good. But I love you too much to give you that one. Because I believe what the Lord wants to warn us against tonight is something that the devil is so insidious. The devil is wanting to steal from you and I the very essence of godliness. And he does it incrementally. He does a sneak attack. He wants to come in and try to get us all focused on something else. And folks, we're in a time where the winds are blowing every direction. And I want to tell you, God's winnowing. God, the fan is in his hand. And it's not a wrong thing. Especially when the fan's in God's hand. It's the right hands. But that also causes me to have a fear. Lord, I don't want to be so light that I'll blow away. You know what this means? You know, the Lord separates between the good and the chaff. Between the grain and that's worthless. And God's doing that. And there's going to be some people that'll blow away. It'll happen. And our hearts ache when it happens. And I wish it would be different. I want to tell you, there's not a soul in here tonight that has to be lost. You don't have to. But you do have to do it God's way. And I wouldn't want to try to change that, but I can't change that if I wanted to. That young man, that rich young ruler, he had to do it God's way. And what was it? He walked away. Will you too walk away? I hope we know. I hope nobody does. You see, I'm not asking you tonight to be in love with me or my style or my ways. But I am asking you to be in love with God. I am asking you to get along with the Lord and stay on your knees and seek His face until you feel His touch. I felt that touch that night in 1979 at Monarch in July when I was on that altar. And He saved my soul and changed me. And I came up from that altar a different man. Felt that touch. And it's too valuable to me to let anything stand in between me and that experience.
I'm sorry, I need a Kleenex.
The call I have to us tonight is that we are indeed what we say we are. Claim to be God's people. We'll be God's people. Be it. Your iniquities have separated you sins hid his face, that he will not hear. That's a terrible place. Your hands are defiled with blood, fingers with iniquity. Lips have spoken lies. Tongues have muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor pleads the truth.
You going to plead for the truth tonight?
Or has it lost so much value to you that you really don't care? No, I want to tell you what, it means all to me. Not just the truth for quote truth's sake, but I want godliness. And in godliness there is a truth. I'd like for you to open your Bibles also over here to Malachi. The third chapter of Malachi. First verse. I'll send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he'll come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Quite a question. Who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and he's like a fuller's soap. That is both a fearful thing and a joyful thing at the same time. Folks, I'm glad he's a refiner. And I'm glad he's like fuller's soap. The thing that causes me to be afraid is that I know in his action, things will be cut off. And I know that sometimes that hurts. And sometimes people get cut off. It's just part of it. Again, I say nobody has to. God has a way that we can be accepted. We don't have to be cut off. That young man, rich young ruler, could have said, Amen, Lord. I'll do it. And Jesus told him, go and then come and follow me. He could have followed right along there. But he chose not to. So this causes me to tremble when I realize that our love can be centered on things of the flesh so much that I can neglect or miss the very invitation of God himself. That come and you can have treasure in heaven. Well, he sets his refiner's fire. And this is the part that I really like that gives me lots of joy. That I know in my heart, and I've already felt him. There have been times that there were things resided in me I didn't know was there. But the Lord has a way of uncovering. Yes, praise God indeed. Oh, folks, when the Lord gets to working in our hearts and uncovering things, and I'll tell you, it might be embarrassing. In fact, it probably will. And it might look ugly, and you're going to say, oh my, is that really me? I want to tell you, keep on looking steadfastly in his face. Because if you keep on, you're going to be changed into his glory. You see, he sits as a refiner. And a purifier. This is what God does. And I thank him for that. Folks, God's not through changing you tonight. He wants to have free reign in every one of our lives tonight. He wants to change us into his image. Now you might be exactly where God wants you tonight, but he's not through. He's still working. Sometimes we can almost get this feeling, well, I've served the Lord for 30 years now. And I've arrived. I've learned the system. Be careful. Don't ever just learn the system. That's carnal. But there is a life in Christ. There is one that God Himself wants to take you and I and mold us and shape us and grow us and feed us and nurture and dig about us and fertilize us and cause us to be trees of righteousness. You know, what does a tree do? It produces, doesn't it? Fruit. And He wants you and I to be the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness that when others look on, and they're going to look on, and they're going to see, and they're going to be able to discern the difference whether you and I are indeed sons of God or just are another sect, and they're going to know the difference. And the difference will be whether you and I are indeed in contact with the divine, and there is a divine and a supernatural work of God going on in our hearts. If that is neglected, and if we have fallen to the point that it is only you and I at work, well then, God help us. It's time for some old-fashioned repentance. That's what that's. I want to tell you, nobody here needs to fail. But God calls us to His side. And I believe tonight God is calling you and I to His side. It's time for self-examination, not brother examination. That's His job. But let's examine ourselves, Lord, and let's come running to Him, bowing down, saying, "Good Master." It's time to call Him Good Master, folks. He's God. Bow down and say, "What do I need to do?" Humble our hearts. Say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want You to reign over me. I need Your hand. I need Your guidance. I am lost, utterly desolate without You." Thank the Lord that He sets as a refiner, purifier. He'll set as a refiner, purifier of silver. Shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. It goes beyond the system. It goes beyond you and I just learning how to do things. It's something coming deep from within that's real. That's what I got when I was at that altar that night. And that's what has still remained. Oh yes, the devil's tried to cut off the flow. And he'll do that with you too. And there have been times he's had a certain amount of success. But the Lord never quit. He's still a refiner and a purifier of the sons of Levi, that you and I can offer to the Lord an acceptable offering in righteousness, godliness. And it's going to look like the Father. It's going to be something that He says, "There's My child. I love Him." And He'll work with you. Like I say, sometimes it might be embarrassing, but that's all right. The Lord really doesn't care if you're embarrassed. He wants you to be saved. Well, let's go on down. See, this was a desire of God to be able to bring this type of relationship about. Even in the people back there, this is Malachi was prophesying this. Then on down, in the sixth verse says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore the sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord Himself is a righteous God. The Lord Himself, He has plans, He has desires for you and I. The only thing that will cause that not to be realized in our life is if you and I cling to our old selfish ways. But if we divest, if we go and sell all my ways, say, "Lord, I just want Yours. there will not only not be a consuming, but there will be a planting. There will be a growth. There will be something that the Lord is building in your heart and mind. On down the seventh verse. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. And you've not kept them. This is turning here, isn't it? There's something getting in the way. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away. There's somehow the seeds began in my father. Somewhere back there, maybe a small thing, maybe insignificant thing. But insignificant things never seem to stay that way. They grew. They began to, especially in spiritual things, quote, insignificant. We see them as insignificant. God doesn't. As those insignificant things that begin to develop in a group or in us as individuals, if that continues to stay there and we feed it and it grows, it will have an effect. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. The Lord says, return unto me. I'll return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But this was the response that they had to God. After the Lord said, he told them, he said, for a long time you've been departing from what I want you to do. From your fathers, this seed has grown and has developed. And it's grown to this point that my blessing, I can't bless over it. And what was it? He said, return to me and I'll return to you. God's longing to bless souls. He's waiting. God has not changed. That's why we're not consumed. He's waiting to bless you and I. He wants His fullness to be poured out on our hearts. Then He says, this is the response those people had. It doesn't have to be our response. Wherein, return. But you said, wherein shall we return? What have we done wrong? Have you ever seen that attitude? Have you ever seen self-righteousness? People go along and go along and go along, and they generally develop along the line where their heart is. Now, if your treasure is in heaven, you're going to head that direction. But if your treasure on things of this earth, you're going to head that direction also. And you'll develop along that line. And you're going to find reasons to accept things that are of the flesh and are the carnal, this old carnal world. And you're going to become lax in your spiritual walk. And you're going to not even recognize that you become lax because you feel like you're self-sufficient and you're fine. You become rich in yourself. Do you remember what Jesus, what God said to the church over in Revelations? He said, you feel like that you're full and you have need of nothing. But He said, I see you differently. He said, you're naked and you're poor. You've lost. Here the Lord said, return. This is the call of God to all of our hearts. See, tonight you might be right where God wants you, but He's also calling, He's still calling you and I to a closer place with Him. He's not done changing you. And He wants you and I to leave everything behind. Say, Lord, I want you. I want to walk with you. Here they said they would not. Wherein shall we return? Then the next verse says, will a man rob God? That seems like a preposterous thing to think we can get away with robbing Jehovah, the God of heaven. And it is a preposterous thing. I want to tell you what He sees and He knows. When there were two people tried to give the illusion that they had given all. Do you remember? New Testament. You remember? Early morning church. You remember? They came to try to give the illusion, I've given all. What did it cost them? cost them their lives. Folks, it'll cost you and I our lives too. Our soul especially. It'll destroy. When you and I try to give the illusion that I am one of God's little ones and I'm in love with Him, God discerns differently. There's not a thing you and I can get over on Him. It's a preposterous thing for us to think that I can rob God so and get away with it. We can't. We can't. Will a man rob God? Yet, you have. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Let's get our eyes now off our pocketbooks, folks. God doesn't, He's not so interested in our money right now. Tithes and offerings. You've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. You know what He's interested in? He's interested in you and I selling all. Give Him our all. Not holding back anything. Because the measure that we hold back, the measure that we know we hold back, it causes death. And at best, we lower the blessing of God if we hold back on Him. At best. If we continue, persist in holding back on God, it will indeed cause death. God gives us space to repent. But He wants us to do that. He wants us to give our all to Him. Wherein have you robbed me? You've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You robbed me. Even this whole nation, He said, you robbed me. Then He gives this counsel to him. You see, the Lord is holding out mercy. He could have and He had the right to destroy them at any moment. But He held out mercy. He wants to dig about and wants to call to. And He sent the prophet to give this message to these people. And now He said, He identified the problem. You've robbed me. You have given yourself to some other force. Earlier in the chapter, the second chapter, there was a place here talked about, 15th verse, the latter part of that said, the first part, and did not He make one yet? Had He the residue of the Spirit? And wherefore one, that He might seek a godly seed, a true and a godly. Therefore, take heed to your spirits, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I don't believe He's talking about here about a literal wife of the youth. This is talking about how they were dealing with God. They were dealing treacherously with God. Now down here, the Lord gives him this counsel. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Folks, we ask and we pray for the blessing of God. We ask for His anointing. We ask for His inspiration. That's a good prayer. Don't do anything to hinder that either. Let's get down meek and lowly. Let's bring the storehouse. Let's bring our tithes into the storehouse of God. Let's say, Lord, you can have it all. Let's quit exacting our own labor in the day of our fast. Let's come to the Lord wholly and unreservedly and say, Lord, I am yours. And I will not take it back. He said, bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me. You're not going to outdo God, folks. You give Him your all. He's got plenty to give. Wait a minute. If you're thinking now about money and fine houses and cars, you're already on the wrong track. But let me tell you what He's going to give to you. Something the world, peace I leave, my peace, not like the world can give. There's a peace in our soul. There's something real that surpasses the trials and the difficulties of life. there's something that can reside down deep in every single one of us here. And God wants it there. It's His longing, His desire to give you and I the peace of God. Bring our storehouse. I bring our tithes into the storehouse. Give Him our all. I will and see. Try me, He said, and see if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's a lot of you young folks haven't been blessed like I've been blessed. I'll explain. Sister Catherine Williams, there are not too many of you remember her. Oh, I've seen her in some of these meetings, folks. I've seen the Lord bless old dear Sister Catherine Williams. And she'd get up. There wasn't room to contain it. So she just let it spill over. And I remember getting my portion. Some spilled over from her. And oh, it fell on me. And I rejoiced with her. I saw God in her, folks. Saw God in her. She's not the only one. She's just one I just now picked out because she stands out in my mind. But there's other saints in the past. Oh, when they gave their all and just invested in God. And the Lord began to fill their heart. They came here. I saw Sister Catherine Williams. This was before I was saved. I was a young man sitting back there in the corner. I was kind of disregarding things that was going on in open rebellion. Oh, that one night she had such a burden for souls. Message had went forth so true and straight. And oh, she came back there looking at faces as she came back, praying, tears running down her face, saying, "Are you ready? Oh, young folks, are you ready?" I saw God in those eyes. Saw God in it. Have we gotten so refined that we can't love souls like that? There ought to be something that moves you and I. The Lord wants you and I to fellowship His passion. The Lord wants you and I to invest in Him. To love Him. With all we have. And I want to tell you, the day we do that, He's waiting to pour out copious blessings on our hearts. And it'll flow out. And we can't contain it. We'll be telling others. I remember the night I got saved. I felt that night that if somehow I could have converted all that I had, if I could have converted that into a bowl of something, I had a spoon in there and went around feeding people, there wasn't a soul would have rejected it. They said, "Oh, give me some more of that." And I tried to tell people, and it just didn't come out right. And somehow they didn't understand all I was trying to tell them. But I'll tell you this, taste and see. The Lord's good. There's something in this, folks, that'll satisfy your soul. But I'm going to tell us tonight, don't hold back on Him. The Lord's waiting to pour out His blessing. The Lord's waiting. I want to skip on down now to the latter part of this chapter. It said, 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. This is a whole lot more than our words going back and forth, folks. You know, the way you live your life says something. And as I watch you, and I see you come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I see you get up and say, "Here's what the Lord's been doing for me this week. Oh, I woke up maybe Monday morning having to go to work, and I wasn't feeling well, and had a lot of pressures, didn't hardly know what to do, but I fell on my knees asking the Lord to give me grace and help. Oh, and He gave me a scripture. And I got a hold of it. And I went in the strength of that. And I want to tell you how the Lord's blessed me." Folks, that's calling to me. That's speaking. We begin to speak often one to another. Folks, let's encourage each other, not beyond our words, but our lives and the way we live them. And you know, I can speak to you in a very discouraging way. I can become lax and loose in the way I live my life. And I'll be speaking to you, and it'll be a discouraging thing to you. Or we can, on the other hand, speak to each other in a very careful, loving, oh, godly manner. God wants to clothe every one of us here tonight with the robes of His righteousness. And He wants that to be on display. And He wants it to speak to each other. There's one thing that we ought to say to each other. Friend, saint, dear brother, let's go up into Zion. Let's go up into the mount. Let's go up into the holy place of righteousness. Let's flow up into Zion. That's what we ought to be speaking. Often one to each other, one to another. We ought not to allow the loud voice of the world to drown us out. We ought not to allow the loud voice of the world to cause you and I somehow to get distracted and quit speaking of God. So many times, the loud voice of the world and its siren call. It gets so attractive. And we get to where, oh, I worry more about what the sports are doing today than what I am, what God is doing today. That's a shame. I want to tell you, that's speaking discouraging when we let that in our life. God wants you and I to be robed in His righteousness, to speaking of godliness. And it said, now this is what happened. Then they that feared the Lord speak often, one to another. And the Lord's ear is open to it. Listen to what He said. The Lord heard. He hearkened and heard it. And it was notable enough to Him that He said, I'm going to make a note of that. He wrote it down. Folks, it pleases God when you and I call to each other to righteousness. When we call to each other and say, dear brother, be encouraged in the Lord. Let's flow up into Zion. Let's go up into His righteousness. Let's climb up in His arms and talk with Him a little bit. Folks, this precious when we can bow on our knees together and spend some hard times together on our knees before the Lord. Oh, I remember when I was young in the Lord, there were some other young folks. And there was another young man there. A lot of times we'd get together. Eventually we'd think, let's have some prayer. Every time, even there at Monarch, we went out over there in the woods and bowed down and had prayer together. And those are some memorable times to me. There were some times we got so happy back there. I'm not much of a jumping, shouting person. This other fellow did it. Because the Lord met us there, folks. Oh, tears are rolling down my eyes. The Lord was there. Those are precious times. God's not done. He wants to pour out those blessings to you. Speak often one to another. The Lord's sitting there looking. That's my child. Y'all seen him? He looks like me. I hope the Lord will take pleasure in being able to say that. This is my son. I'm well pleased with him. The book of remembrance is written. Before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels. Oh, thank the Lord, folks. That gives me hope. Let's call to each other to righteousness. I want to tell you tonight, God is also calling to repentance. Too long, there have been people that have been lax in their soul. Too long, there have been people that have tried to portray something that they're not. God's calling for repentance. He wants to pour out the blessing. But sins separate. Can't help it. That's what happens with sin. It separates us from the blessing of God. God wants you and I to admit who we are. Come to Him. Whether you know you're a sinner tonight, you need to be saved, I want to invite you to come and get saved. If you've been putting on a front for a number of years and you're hollow inside, I want to tell you, come and get saved. Come and make it right. God's waiting to pour out His blessing. He wants you to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Pray for me. I want to make heaven.